Amen. Let's go in our Bibles this morning. And there's actually three passages of Scripture I want to go to for our text. So thank the Lord for five fingers. Would you go with me to Acts chapter 8, Matthew chapter 11, Exodus chapter 3, Acts chapter 8, Matthew chapter 11, Exodus chapter 3. And I want to talk to you about there is something to see in the desert. There is something to see in the desert. Acts chapter 8, Matthew chapter 11, Exodus 3. Amen. There is something to see in the desert. We're going to start with Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to read the first two verses. It says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even unto Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold," I want everyone to say behold, "behold, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Matthew chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 7, and verse 9 and 10. Verse 7, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, what went you out into the wilderness to see?" With me at verse 9. "But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold," everyone say behold, "behold, I send my messenger before thy face." Go with me to Acts chapter 8. I'm going to look at verse 26, 27. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold," everyone say behold, "a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all their treasures, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." Amen. So there is something to see in the desert, isn't there? Recently, a friend and I were talking, and we found out we are both in the same place spiritually. We are in a desert place, and we have been there for a while. Just in a place where the word seems very dry. You know how hard it is to get a message and preach when you're in a season where the word just doesn't seem to be open? A place where the word seems very dry. Worship seems very dry. A place where you really don't sense the presence of God moving, the presence of God stirring in your heart and in your life. And you've just been in that place for a very long time. It's a place that when you have been in it for a very long time, you find many days where you get up and all you can do is call out upon the Lord just to get through the day. You just need God's grace. You need His strength. You know you need His grace and strength. And you just go through that day in your heart continually crying out to the Lord saying, "Lord, I just need you today. I need your strength today. I need your grace today, Lord. I just need you today to get through this day." Can be a place of struggle. It can be a place of spiritual difficulty. And when you've been there for a while, you can begin to take on the tendency to think, well, there must be something wrong with me. You know, either I have sin in my life or somehow I've strayed outside of the will of God. And so the displeasure of God is upon me. He's displeased with me. Surely there's something going on in my life that is displeasing to the Lord. And you can spend so much time trying to dissect your heart. But as I was praying about this, the Lord brought to mind a spiritual truth that you can see so plainly in the Scriptures. And it's simply this. It is in the desert places that men and women beheld something that changed their lives and changed the course of their lives. You know, many times in the scriptures, they show us that when someone was in a desert place, when someone was in a wilderness, they were there for a purpose. They were there because God was going to open their eyes to see something that was going to change their life, that was going to change their heart. It's recorded numerous times in the scriptures. For our text this morning, we only looked at three, but I can tell you there are many places in the scriptures where in the same verse you will find the word wilderness and you will find the word behold. That in the wilderness places, God suddenly comes and He opens your eyes to see something that's going to absolutely transform and change your life. Now, in the Hebrew and the Greek, the word behold actually means to look intently upon. And I know that's correct. But I want to give you the definition the Lord spoke to my heart. Behold simply means you see something that is life-changing. It simply means God opens up the eyes of your heart and He causes you to see something of great value, to see something of eternal value, because once you see it, it changes your life on the spot. It changes your life. The scriptures are filled with people in desert places that suddenly see something from God that changes their life. And I want to encourage you today that if you feel like you're in a desert place today, you feel like you're in a barren place today, you feel like you are in a strengthless place today, a hard place today, it's because the Lord has you there for a purpose. It's because the Lord is going to open your eyes and He's going to cause you to see something that's going to change your life. In His time and His way, He's going to show you something that's going to change your life. Now, I know immediately what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, but Pastor Tim, I have been in this place such a long time and I haven't seen anything. I've been in this desert places, dry places, place of barrenness, strengthlessness for a very long time. And I can honestly say I haven't seen anything life changing, but I want to present two truths to you this morning. First of all, it could be very possible you are seeing something, but you're not realizing it. Could be very possible that in this place of hardship and struggle and dryness, the eyes of your heart is beholding something of the Lord, but we're not realizing it, and we're not realizing the change that is bringing into our life. I'm telling you, when you are in a desert place and you've been there for a while and you find yourself pressed out of strength day after day after day, sometimes it's hard to realize that you're seeing something. That I'm seeing something. But the good news is God is faithful and we are seeing something. But secondly, let me just present this. You may be in the desert for a while before the Lord opens your eyes to finally see something that's going to change your life. But God has His time and His purpose. Listen, Moses was in the wilderness 40 years before he beheld the burning bush. Now hear what I'm saying. I'm not telling you you're going to be in this for 40 years. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I'm making my point, and my point is simply it's sometimes in God's timing and His purposes, you might be in that desert place a while before He opens the eyes of your heart and causes you to see something that's going to change your life. But this is what we have to understand. In the desert, waiting time is not wasted time. Because I want to tell you something, that moment God opened Moses' eyes to see the burning bush. That moment, God had already done something in his life that was so deep. That moment, his eyes were open to see the burning bush. He was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. That simply means not another man upon the face of the earth walked in the strength of God like this man walked in. So I'm telling us, in times of the desert, it's not wasted time. God's doing something deep within our heart and our lives, whether we know it or not. In these 40 years, my question is, in these 40 years, did Moses feel the presence of God working in his life? Did Moses feel the mighty work of God in his life as God was building him up to this moment he would see the burning bush? I don't believe he did. Listen, every day of Moses' life, he was surrounded by wilderness. Every day of his life, he was surrounded by desert. Every day of his life, he was surrounded by bleating sheep that needed to go be watered in the desert. So I think there were plenty of dry days in his life where he didn't sense the working of God in his life. But I want to tell you something. He became the meekest man upon the face of the earth because God was working something deep in his heart. And I want to tell you here this morning, I'm convinced that I don't think Moses understood what was happening in his life. Every day as he was watering sheep in the desert places, I don't think he truly comprehended the deepness, the depth of what God was doing in his life. And if we're here today and we're in desert places, we may not see the work of God. We may not feel the work of God. All we may feel is the desert in our soul. But I'm telling you, God is working something deep within our life, in our heart, because he's faithful. Well, let's then ask the question. Well, then what are some things I'm supposed to see in the desert? Well, beloved, there's many things that we can talk about, but I just want to list a few. In those desert places of my life, in those dry, barren, strengthless, struggling places in my life, what am I supposed to see that's life-changing? Well, number one, our neediness for the Lord. Just how needy and how dependent we are upon the Lord. And with that, there comes something with that. But I want you to go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Verse 2 says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you." Stop there. I want to emphasize to humble you. In other words, this is what the Lord is saying. I brought you into this wilderness, into this place where there is no water or food or any type of provision. I brought you into this desert where there is only scorpions and serpents to cause you to see how needy and dependent you are upon me. Beloved, it's an amazing thing. When you really think about it, it's an amazing thing. When the Lord brought these people out of slavery, these people that were in bondage, these people that were so helpless they couldn't help themselves, the Lord looked in their life and he saw an element of pride in their life. He saw an element of self-sufficiency in their life. And the Lord says, you know what? I have to humble you. I have to cause you to see just how needy you are for God. Now we can look at these people that marched around this wilderness and we said, it's an amazing thing. They could be in such a state, slavery, bondage, helplessness, and they still have an element of pride and self-sufficiency in their life. We can say that's an amazing thing. But I'm telling you, everybody today has that same degree of pride and self-sufficiency because of the sin nature. Listen, it's amazing. We were a people that were so enslaved by the sin nature, very helpless over the sin nature, powerless over the sin nature. But yet when we were saved, the Lord still looked in our hearts and he saw a pride and he saw a sense of self-sufficiency. And he said, you know what? There is a degree of humility. I still have to work in your heart and I still have to work in your life. So he brings those desert places. He brings those places into our life. Where we are absolutely bankrupt before him. And we understand, Lord, I don't need you just for salvation. I need you just to live the crucified life every day of my life. He brings us into those places because he's striking at the heart of that pride and that self-sufficiency in our life. Beloved, the definition for brokenness that I really love is this. Brokenness is simply bringing people to a place of absolute dependency upon God and every area of their life. God, I don't just need you to be salvation. I need you to be the father I need to be to my children. I don't need you just for salvation. If I'm going to be a husband that honors his wife with his life, every day, the way I live my life, it doesn't just honor you, it honors my wife, it honors my kids, then I need you, Lord. That's brokenness. I need you in every area of my life, and God will lead you in the desert places to totally bankrupt you. Will we realize our need for the Lord? But see, this is what I want us to understand. Here's the powerful truth I want us to understand. There is something to see in the desert, even if it's our own weakness and need for the Lord. And nothing releases God's transforming power in our life like realizing our weakness and seeing our need for the Lord. Beloved, I've said it before, but it is a great revelation in my life. Ever-increasing humility is the secret to ever-increasing strength. As the Lord causes you to see more and more just how much I need Him, and more my eyes lift off of myself and my eyes lift to God, the strength of God is increasing in my life. If you are in a desert place and you feel like you've been there for a long time and it's causing you to look daily to the Lord for His strength, whether you see it or not, whether you feel it or not, there is a strength increasing in your life and it is the strength of the Lord. You know, a man of God once said something very powerful. He said this, anything that causes you to see your need for God is a good thing. It doesn't matter what it is. Anything that causes you to see your need for God is a good thing. And beloved, one of the reasons why it's a good thing is because when you really start seeing your need for God, humility and strength is increasing in your life. So there is something to see in the desert, even if it's our own weakness and our own need for God. Secondly, what are some things I'm supposed to see in the desert? Secondly, we're supposed to see God's keeping power. Go with me to Exodus chapter 3. Go with me at verse 2. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. So suddenly, Moses' eyes is open to see a bush that's on fire, but it's not being consumed. Now, here's the question we have to ask. Well, this bush is on fire, but it's not being consumed. How come it's not being consumed? Well, the answer is very simple and evident. How come it's not being consumed? Because God is in the midst of the bush. That's why it's not being consumed. And God is speaking to Moses something. He's speaking to Moses this. He's saying, Moses, my people have been in the fiery furnace of Egypt for 400 years. And the reason why they haven't been consumed by that fiery furnace is because all this time I have been in the midst of them. Though they did not realize it, though they did not feel my presence or sense my hand, though there are many times they looked up to heaven and said, God, where are you? Where are you? Do you not see? Are you indifferent to what's going on? Though they lifted up their cries and their prayers saying, where are you, God? Just the fact they were not consumed is the proof I have been with them 400 years. Now, beloved, here's what the Lord is simply telling us. You may be in a desert place today, a hard place today, but just the very fact you are in church today is the evidence God has been in the midst of you. Just the very fact that we're here today is the evidence that God's mercy, God's compassion, Jeremiah has said it best, if it were not for the compassion of the Lord, we would have been consumed. So just the fact that we're here today, we may not see His hand or feel His presence, but just the fact that we're here today and we're still standing in the strength of the Lord shows us God has been in the midst of us. Where are you, God? You're not consumed. You're not devoured. You're not destroyed. You're standing in the sanctuary of the Lord, worshiping me. I guess I've been with you all along. And you need to recognize my keeping power on your life because I'm faithful. Understand, as we said before, the Lord has been doing something deep in your life. Though it's hard to see and it's hard to feel when you are in the desert, it's still true. In the burning bush, there was something else God was showing Moses. In the burning bush, you can look at it. God was showing Moses so many things in that burning bush. One of the things He was showing Moses wasn't just His keeping power. He was showing Moses this. Moses, listen, my presence is a consuming fire. My presence is a holy fire. And Moses, you need to understand something. These 40 years, the fire of my presence in your life has been consuming the spirit of Egypt in your life. The spirit of Egypt that's in your life. You see, when Moses walked out of Egypt, he was polluted with Egypt through and through. I mean, he was Egypt to the core. But 40 years later, when he left Midian to go back into Egypt, there is not a trace of Egypt in this man. Because the consuming fire, the holy fire of God was in his life, purging out that spirit of Egypt. Can you imagine if Moses, what would have happened if Moses would have went right back to Egypt with Egypt's ideas and Egypt's philosophy, going to go right back into Egypt, moving in the spirit of Egypt? Can you imagine what tragedy that would have been? But God put him in Midian and said, now my consuming fire is going to work in your life and it's going to burn the spirit of Egypt out of you. And beloved, I want to tell you something. If you're in a desert place today and you're feeling the desert place today, listen, if all you feel is the desert of your soul, you don't feel the presence of God or the hand of God, all you feel is the desert of your soul, I'm telling you, regardless, God is doing something deep in your life, and one of the things He's doing is He's burning the spirit of the world out of your life. He's burning it out of your life. Because if He doesn't, what's going to happen is we're going to be like the Aaron ministry. We're going to start making golden calves and golden idols. See, Aaron only made what was in his heart. That's all he was doing. In other words, he took God and he made him into something that was after his own heart. And if God doesn't burn the spirit of the world out of us, then what we bring to the people is a worldly Jesus. A Jesus that talks like the world, acts like the world, sounds like the world. So the Lord said, I have to burn that spirit out of you. Not that you become self-righteous. It has nothing to do with that. Legalist, nothing to do with that. It's just that you just become holy in thought and mind because I am holy. Amen. The burning bush was also a picture of the meekness of Moses and strength. Beloved, when Moses was looking at the burning bush, he was looking at a picture of himself. That's what he was looking at. You see, this burning bush, the bush itself, there was nothing impressive about the bush. There's nothing beautiful about the bush. But what made it so impressive is it was under this intense pressure, this fire, but it wasn't being consumed. Listen, that describes Moses' ministry to a T. You want to talk about pressure situations. The very first time he came out of Egypt with the people of God, he ran into a place where there's a Red Sea beside in front of him, and the most invincible army coming to devour him and the people. I am convinced with all my heart, any other man on the face of the earth would have buckled under that pressure. I am convinced in my heart, there wasn't another man on the face of the earth that could have stood under that pressure. But yet, because Moses wasn't standing in his own strength, he was standing in the strength of God. Therefore, the glory of God could be revealed through his life. In those 40 years in desert places, God made him into a man, the most meek man on the earth. That simply means there wasn't another man on the earth that could stand in the strength of God like this man. Desert places. Number three, what are some things I'm supposed to see in the desert? Number three, the cross. Isaiah 41:10, the Lord says, I will plant in the wilderness a myrtle and an oil tree. I will plant in the wilderness a myrtle and oil tree. Beloved, the tree God plants in our wilderness is the cross. In other words, it's in the wilderness places of our lives. We have to look away from our own righteousness, our own strength, our own works, our own sufficiency, and one more time place our complete trust in the finished work of the cross. On the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. That it's not about anything I can do, but it's about everything He's already done. My sufficiency is in one thing. It is in the finished work of the cross. Amen. The wilderness has a way of placing your eyes back on the cross and saying, look, I don't have anything to offer. And then the Lord says, now take everything I have to offer. Your righteousness isn't of yourself. It's not of your works. It's of me. Your strength is not of yourself. It's of me. And I love what Paul says about the cross, 1 Corinthians 2. He says, "For I've determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul is saying, when your faith is placed in nothing else but Christ and what He finished on the cross, then you have a faith that stands in the power of God. No matter what trial comes into your life or what desert you find yourself in, your faith will stand when it's placed entirely in the cross. Amen. And I want to give you one more thing. There's so many things we see in the desert. God opens our eyes to see. I want to give you one more thing. Go with me to Acts chapter 8. Look with me at verse 26 and 27. "And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all their treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet." Beloved, verse 26 and verse 27, the two verses we just read, I want to entitle, "From Revival to the Desert." From revival to the desert. You see, in Acts chapter 8, we see Philip, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, go from revival to the desert. We see that Philip is in a city in Samaria, and a magnificent and glorious revival is taking place there. God is moving phenomenally. Many people are being marvelously saved, healed, delivered, transformed, and the city is bursting with incredible life. On every street corner, people are bursting with testimonies of what God has done for them. In the marketplace, there is singing and dancing out of hearts that are overflowing with the goodness of God. Over the city, there is a spiritual fountain flowing from heaven, and people are being immersed in the supernatural life of God. But then the Lord speaks to Philip and tells him to leave this glorious place of revival and go to the south, which is desert. The Bible tells us that Philip, though he wasn't told why he was to go, knew this was the Lord's calling, and he obeys. Beloved, I am sure as he gathers his few belongings in a little pack and throws it over his shoulder, voices are coming to him. "Philip, why would you want to leave this place? You're blessed here. You're living every evangelist's dream. Your ministry is thriving. All your needs are met. Spiritually and materially, you are so blessed. Why are you leaving and why are you going south? There is nothing but desert in the south. Why would you leave this phenomenal place of blessing to go south into the desert of all places?" The Bible doesn't say Philip responds. It simply says he obeys. Now here's what I want us to see. And what was the reward of Philip's obedience? Look at verse 27. "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia." Beloved, when the Bible says behold in verse 27, do you know what that means, he saw? It simply means he saw something worth seeing. That's what it means. It simply means he saw something that was going to change his life. That's what it means. It means he saw God working in someone's life. It means he saw God creating in someone's heart a spiritual hunger for the things of God. It means he saw God creating spiritual hunger. And it not only changed the Ethiopian's life, what he saw changed his life. Now, beloved, here's my question that came to my mind. Is it possible that our own desert places has a way of opening our eyes to see the spiritual hungry? Is it just possible? Is it just possible our own desert places has a way of causing us to see people that are spiritual hungry? I can't help but think about the Laodiceans. In their heart, they said, "I am rich increase with goods, and have need of nothing. And God tells him, you're blind. You're blind. You are living in a place physically and materially where you have no problems going on in your life. You have money. You have an abundance of plenty of things, and you really don't see your need for the Lord, and it has made you blind. You wouldn't see the spiritually hungry if they passed before your eyes with a sign that says, I'm spiritually hungry. Blind. So I can't help but ask myself again, are desert places needed in my life because do they actually have some kind of eye salve that really causes me to recognize the spiritually hungry when they pass before my eyes? Is that possible? You know, with the encouragement of friends that just didn't understand, it would have been easy for Philip to ask the question, why? Why leave this place of revival, this place of thriving and flourishing in the work of the Lord? And why leave this place of abundance in every area of my life? Why leave all this for the hardships and difficulties of the desert? Logically, it doesn't make any sense to me. But thinking about what is going on in Philip's life, I can't help but think God is reminding Philip of something. See, there's something in this revival that could have been lost in Philip's heart. So God had to bring him out into the desert to remind him of something one more time. And I think what God was reminding Philip is simply this. Philip, it is not about crowds. It's about individual people. Philip, it's wonderful when revival happens and there are multitudes at one time being swept into the kingdom of God. But Philip, you got to understand something. I don't look at crowds. I see individual people. Is it possible that was being lost in Philip's life? Is it possible he was beginning not to see with the eyes of God anymore? And God had to bring him out and remind him one more time. Beloved, my question is simply this. Was going to the desert place needful for Philip if he was going to continue seeing as the Lord sees? Was going to this desert place needful for Philip if he was going to see, continue to see as the Lord sees? Are you in a desert place this morning because there is something you need to see about God's heart? There's something you need to see about God's ways if you are going to continue to be an effective witness for Him. You guys that go to the prison, is it needful for the Lord to put you in the desert? Because there's just something about His heart you need to see if you're going to continue to be effective in the present. Is it possible you could be losing sight of something? You that go to Field Haven, working with children, is it possible God sometimes has to put you in the desert to remind you of something that you're going to lose sight of? If He doesn't put us in desert places. I think it was very needful for Philip if he was going to continue to see as the Lord sees. So beloved, I want to encourage you today. You may be in a desert, but in the desert places, there are things that we need to see. Things that will change our life, change our ministry. And ultimately, here's the bottom line of the message. It comes back to faith. I don't know why I'm here. I don't see nothing fruitful happening in my life. I don't sense the presence of God. I don't see Him working in my heart. I don't see it's a fruitful faith. But God is saying this morning, listen, it all comes back to faith. No, it's not about sin in your life. It's about something I'm working deep in your heart. And you just have to trust me. Amen. Stand with me this morning.